Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man. We are live at Twin Peaks, Kennesaw location, Mike Bell. Today, we leave Buckhead from last night, head up here, and we expect to see you guys. Come on out and see us, man. We're hanging out until about 7 o'clock tonight. It is going to be an incredible weekend, Atlanta. I truly believe, Mike, the Sunday night football trucks are rolling in. People were talking about, you know, the fact that this feels big. It does. This feels big for various reasons. One, the Chiefs are the world champs. Two, we're coming off one of the biggest, if not the biggest, wins off of last week. And the third reason this is big is because of the star power, Mike, in this game.
Right.
We have it. Obviously, they have it. But I think this is another opportunity to show people around the country the Falcons' star power going into Sunday night.
Look, Kirk Cousins, we said back in March when we did the signing, is a brand. Kirk Cousins is a brand. And I know we've talked about, you know, he's a great personality, dynamic, charismatic. And the only knock on him is he just hasn't won the big playoff games like he needs to, like kind of like Matthew Stafford did. But he is a brand that puts fannies in the seats and gets eyeballs on the game. And just like Chris Collinsworth told Dan Patrick yesterday, yeah, I was rooting for the Falcons. We don't want an 0-2 Atlanta on Sunday Night Football. So it was one of the greatest comebacks for this franchise ever. Certainly one of our best primetime comebacks. And now we're going to be a team that's talked about. And if we beat the Chiefs, then all of a sudden there's a real buzz for us going all the way.
It is. And by the way, I'll say it now. I know we got to give our picks later. I like us a lot Sunday, guys. We're the underdogs at home. I think the spread is 3.
3.5?
Right, 3. And so,
oh, is that flat? 3, my bad.
I like us at home, not only to cover, but to win this game. We'll talk about why coming up. Mike, some of the things we're learning, no Kareem Hunt, as Big Red just told the media up in Kansas City, so we will not see Kareem Hunt on Sunday. Remember,
signed him. He was out there on the float.
Yeah, they've got issues at running back. Pacheco's out. They signed him, but we will not see him. And then, Mike, their O-line, and this is something that, you know, we haven't really dove into, but they have had struggles. And last week, you know, against the Bengals, Trey Hendrickson had a day. He abused both tackles on the offensive line. I only say that to say Matthew Judon, and I know that Raheem and all these guys have been watching the tape. Yeah. Mike, you might see him on either side on Sunday.
That's it. That's the one thing we really haven't seen. You know, I think Chris talked about it last night, but moving him around, that's great. And, you know, I always thought, you know, Judon, I always loved the idea. I know this is, you can't do this too often, but overstacking, like bringing, walking Caden Ellis up with Judon. Something like that, just, you know, when they're out there at the same time, of course. But, you know, Caden Ellis had 7 sacks 2 years ago for the Saints. Just something to think about. But I love your idea, moving Judon around and just kind of changing up our looks.
Well, I think that this particular game calls for something like that. And, again, you're not going to do it every play. But last week, the Chiefs benched their rookie left tackle. Benched him in the game.
Like, you're out.
And
you're not good enough tonight.
So this is Patrick Mahomes' blindside, okay? And I'm just bringing this up to tell you guys, for everybody's like, the Chiefs. Chiefs have some issues right now. Red zone struggles, offensive line, and now you're looking at, well, who's going to tote the rock and run the football for them so they can have an effective running game. I think all of this stuff adds up, Mike. I'm not saying they can't overcome it because, again, they have the best quarterback in the league. But it is, I think, some of the things that we'll watch on Sunday, and it may play out in our favor.
But, you know, the thing about the Chiefs are they still 2-0. And there was a great song from the Police back in the day, Carl. When the world is running down, you make the best of what's still around.
Yes.
And that's their offense. I mean, Mahomes starts moving around. Kelce and him, they never practice that stuff, right? You think they practice that stuff?
No.
Kelce, they have like, it's almost like they have like an ESP or whatever. They're on the same wavelength. All his wide receivers seem to know to come back to him and when things break down, and Mahomes just always seems to find a way. That's why he's going for his 3rd Super Bowl in a row. But yeah, but I just think, as you said to start the show, they got to worry about our firepower as well. This could be maybe a game that I think goes over. I think it's a little undervalued by Vegas as far as the over-under. We'll talk about that later in the 4 o'clock hour in the picks.
Let's hear from Grady Jarrett, guys. We're live at Twin Peaks. It's Dukes and Bell. Follow us on social media. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes and this radio show. Dukes and Bell 929. Follow the radio station at 929 The Game as we're live in Kennesaw. Grady was talking about Patrick Mahomes. Listen to what he said.
He can extend plays like no other, you know what I'm saying? And he's very elusive, very athletic. And then, I mean, he can cover all the ground that he loses with his arm, you know, throwing, if he got to throw it all the way across the field, or and it's pinpoint right on point every time. So that's the challenge that he presents. We got to be disciplined in the rush lanes, and guys got to plaster. DB's got to stick with the receivers as they try to make plays happen while he tried to extend plays. And it's a gift that he's blessed with, and I'm sure he works on a lot. And we got to be ready for it.
I love Grady's assessment. But, guys, to be quite honest, the game plan is no different than it was last week against the Eagles. Jalen Hurts is the same dude. He just doesn't have that accuracy in the arm that Patrick Mahomes has. You have to keep him in the pocket. And when you didn't last week, what did Jalen do? He ran for first downs, right?
Right.
Patrick's not looking to run 25 yards for a touchdown. He's going to run for the first down, get out of bounds, he's going to slide. You have to keep him in your lanes. And, Mike, it's no different. That's why I think we contained them last week somewhat, because they did a great job of that. Going into this week on Sunday night, it's no different with Patrick Mahomes. He's more accurate and has a better arm than Jalen Hurts, and he will hurt you with that.
Look, we said this, you and I were joking around yesterday. I mean, the Steelers, we knew that their fans were going to kind of, you know, there was going to be a lot of fans. Not sure. I mean, I'm sure there'll be a lot of Chiefs fans, because Chiefs are a brand nationally now. But it just, I can't, like, get to hating them like when the Saints come to town. Chiefs are a fun team to root for when, again, their interests don't conflict with our interests, to quote Don Corleone. But, yeah, it's just, it's, they're an exciting, fun team. The thing is, after what we saw on Monday night, I think when Kirk Cousins gets to be 100%,
yeah,
we're a fun, exciting team. And the best part of this is if we could go 2-2 or 3-1 through the most difficult part of our schedule, still got to look, the Buccaneers are for real, Saints are for real, but, I mean, they at least they certainly passed the eye test now. But this is still a hell of a test for this team. But I just think once we get into the meat of the season and Zach gets more comfortable, Zach Robinson, this is, you saw elements of it on Monday night, what we can do.
404-726-0929. Guys, we do have another pair of Metallica tickets we're going to give you.
Big prize. That, dude, that concert's going to be huge.
Between now and 7 o'clock, so stay tuned. We gave a pair away yesterday, and it is a big, it's a big show. I mean, it's at Mercedes-Benz. I saw, like, some ad on Insta yesterday, and I was like, ooh, this does look crazy. Mike, how many times have you seen Metallica?
Six.
Okay.
Yeah, I saw them back in the old days. I mean, I'm old enough to where I saw them in Brooklyn when I was a teenager before they kicked Dave Mustaine out. Then he started Megadeth. But, yeah, man, I love the band. Last time I saw them, you know who I was hanging out with? We had tickets together. It was George Godsey, former Tech quarterback who's now the tight ends coach for the Ravens. But we were at Truist Parks. I think that was Avenged Sevenfold was one of the bands that opened up. Hell of a show, man. I saw Mercedes-Benz the last time they were here.
Yeah, it's going to be a great show. It's not until next year, but we're giving you a chance to win those tickets, so stay tuned. Bryant McFadden is on the way. Let's hear Grady talk about having to refocus. This is the challenge I think the Falcons have. And by the way, I think Raheem, you know, after our conversation with him earlier this week, Mike, on Wednesday, I do think they have done this.
Right.
But part of winning these big games, especially on the road, everybody's amped up. Your family's telling you you're the best ever. Your kids are telling you, Dad, I love you. You were great on Sunday or Monday night. You got to let all that stuff go. Here's Grady Jarrett.
Yeah, man, definitely got to refocus, get back to work, and then that's what we're doing. Definitely enjoyed that win Monday night, but we got more to do, more we want to accomplish. And, you know, all focus has been on Kansas City and doing our best to go out there and get a win against them.
I agree. You know, enjoy it, but now it's about this game. Because, Mike, you know this. I mean, we talk about this, guys. It's been a while since we've had this feeling of you win this week, it gets bigger.
Right.
You play the Saints the following week. We win. It gets bigger. It just feels like it's building. And it's been a while, but that's where we're at right now for going into Sunday night. And I think, you know, for Grady and all these vets on this team, man, Jesse Bates, Simmons, Judon, all these cats know this.
I mean, look, we all know, most Falcon fans, most guys listening out there know how good Grady is. But it's just, do you know how much it killed him to not be on the field for the first time in his career as a Falcon last season? I mean, you saw it. And he's literally out there with a vengeance. And he looks like a guy who is totally making up for lost time. And that's a guy that, you know, you talk about a leader for all the young guys we've added. He's everything you want. I know in professional sports, sometimes you feel you're not getting your A game from everybody. That's a guy, you never doubt it. And I think, you know, it's almost like getting a free agent, not having him for half of last season.
I agree, man. We got a lot more to dive into. We'll talk to Bryant McFadden, two-time Super Bowl champion, coming up next. What does he think about this slate of games on Sunday? We will find out what he thinks about the Sunday night game right here in the ATL. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell on a Friday at Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. We are live at Twin Peaks. Kennesaw, come through. We'd love to get a chance to see you. Guys hanging out at the bars. They got our beer. They got a bunch of great beers on tap and great food as well, man. Let's talk to Bryant McFadden, Mike. We do it each and every Friday. We look forward to these visits because he's always dropping knowledge. By the way, this hour is brought to you by our friends at the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. B-Mac, I got to start right here Sunday night. It is the primetime premier game. I know the Bengals get the Commanders on Monday night. It just doesn't have the same feel as this particular game does. And I want to get your thoughts on what you feel like the Falcons have to do to be victorious against the Chiefs. They are the Chiefs, despite you know, the fact that they have had some struggles here in weeks one and two.
Yeah, you're right. Especially last week against Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati had them on the brinks. And, of course, you know, it was a P.I. that was called. And, oh, by the way, that was the right call. I know there are a lot of fans that felt like
it was
Wrong call. But speaking as a former defender, he got there early. The Chiefs benefited from that, and they kicked the game-winning field goal. So for Atlanta, what they need to do is offensively, let's start with the offense first, right? That last game-winning drive against Philly is where the offense needs to start. They need to take that same momentum, that same sense of urgency that they displayed against Philadelphia, Kirk Cousins, the entire offense. That is what they need to showcase from start to finish Sunday night. Because that offense that we saw in that game-winning drive, they were more polished. They established a rhythm. Everyone was winning their one-on-one matchups, and that led to a game-winning touchdown, right, to Drake May. Defensively, I just need the defense to keep doing what they've been doing. That defense for Atlanta in 2 weeks of play, when you look at the entire NFL, they haven't really been talked about as being a very, very stout, firm group. But when you watch them play, they tackle well. The defensive linemen, the linebackers, they play with the right gap integrity. And if you allow the ball to be in open space and passing windows, they have guys that can catch the football a la Jesse Bates, who's a turnover machine waiting. So those are the things that need to happen for them to be successful, because when you think about Kansas City, the first thing that can come to mind is, oh, my goodness, it's the Chiefs. Yeah, but they're still human. Right, they're still vulnerable right in some spots. And don't forget, they will be without Isaiah Pacheco, who is like their spark plug for their entire offense. So, you know, not having him in the lineup, that's a big, big opportunity for Atlanta defensively to exploit the inability to run the football as well as they've done when they have number 10 in the lineup.
It is two-time Super Bowl winner Bryant McFadden with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline.
Two-time.
Twin Peaks in Kennesaw. Yeah. Hey, man, we didn't run right at T.J. Watt. Chris Jones is – I mean, they got a really good defense and pass rush, but do you feel that there's things we'll have to modify with our approach to handle what they do, or you feel that Cousins has proven he's as close to 100% as he's going to be?
You know what? The running game has to be a huge factor for Atlanta offensively, and I love what I saw from Atlanta against Philly. They ran the football, but the success was more about the style of running that we saw Sunday night compared to what we did not see week one against Philly. So let me break it down. Against Pittsburgh week one. Let me break it down. Pittsburgh, they ran the football, but it was more shotgun style running, out of the pistol running, right? But when you run the football and you're under center, that gives the running back and downhill momentum boost that he has to attack whatever hole he's attacking with momentum, right? As a former defender, when I played defense, we love when teams try to run the football against us in a shotgun formation, because that runner, whoever he is, he doesn't get any momentum. Usually he has to start from being in a lateral position to try to go north or south. We love that. So now when you look at when they ran the football effectively, a lot of the positive runs came from Kirk Cousins being under center. That's what you have to do. Now, against the Chiefs, you talked about that outlier they have on the defensive line in Chris Jones, Stone Cold Jones. The thing I love about what they do with him, that he lines up anywhere he wants to on the football field on the defensive front, right? T.J. Watt is more of an edge rusher. Chris Jones can be an interior guy. He can be over the three. He can be at the five. He can be an edge rusher. He goes where he believes he has the best matchup, right? So now, offensively, for the offensive line, for Atlanta, Chris Lindstrom is one of the best that does what he does in the interior. Bergeron, he got to put his big boy pads on. Because if I'm Chris Jones and just seeing how he moves up and down the offensive line, that's where he's going to go. He's going to test Matthew out and see can he exploit some matchups in his favor. And Matthew, Chris, and as a whole, they have to be in their bag against Chris Jones, because if you want to run the football, you got to find a way to get 95 blocks.
Got to. It is our man Bryant McFadden joining us here as we talk about all things that are going to happen on Sunday night with the Falcons and the Chiefs. Let me ask you real quick. I know McDuffie, I think he's one of the best DBs. Mm-hmm. What about the other guys in that secondary?
Well, that's the thing. When you look at the other guys in the secondary for Kansas City, you know, they lost their best corner, outside corner, in L'Jarius Sneed to Tennessee. Trent McDuffie is a do-it-all. He's like their Swiss Army knife. You know, football have a five-tool player in football. He would be their five-tool player for their defense because he does so many things well. Now, when it comes to Jalen Watson, you know, he's a guy that's still trying to figure things out. You talk about Joshua Williams. These are guys that are talented athletically. They lack experience, right?
B, we can attack these guys. Yes.
And that's what I was going to say. If I'm Atlanta, don't play afraid. Right. Don't play afraid. One thing I would like to see from Atlanta at some point in time in this ballgame, guys, is utilize tempo. You know, right? And that tempo that they utilized against Philly, it worked really, really well during that game winning drive, because you can tell that's the first time that we saw Kirk Cousins looking like he was in rhythm. So right. Me personally, when you talk about Trent McDuffie, he's their best DB. He's their best cover guy. But attack him. Attack him. Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams. Both Joshua and Jalen are long guys. They're tall, they're lengthy, but you still have to find a way to attack them. And what I would love to see as well, red zone offense needs to be better. It's something about Atlanta when the field shortens, the playbook seems to shorten. That's not good. Great offenses in the red zone, when they get into the red zone, the playbook expands. It seemed like Sunday night, the playbook shrank when the field shrank when they got into the red zone. You can't settle for field goals against Kansas City and think you're going to be lucky enough to beat them like you did against Philly.
I think, Brian, we're having a learning curve with Zach Robinson, our new OC. This is the first time he's been in that role. And I think, you know, we saw him kind of scrap what they did against Pittsburgh, maybe because they felt they let Cousins go and he will be able to do the footwork to get the running backs there, you know, where they need to put the ball. Speaking of Monday night, as a former DB, I know you always love talking about Dick LeBeau, one of the best ever to call defenses. Fangio's been around forever. Why do defenses go to that posture they went into, which seemed to give us everything we wanted, or that was just simply poor execution by Philly and the players themselves?
So it was poor execution, but this was also a lapse from the mental side with Philadelphia and Nick Sirianni. So when you go back and watch the last offensive possession for Philly, you know, and I know some people said that was the right call. You throw the football, Saquon got to make that catch, the game is over. But as a defender, we never want to see the ball in the air in that situation because there was no timeouts for Atlanta to use. So if you run the football, the clock is on your side. It's going to keep going. But if you put the football in the air, there's too many things that can happen that could help the opposing team out. So what happened was when Saquon dropped that ball, guys, you kick a field goal, the defense from Philly, their morale was shot. And their morale was shot because they were like, we shouldn't be in this position. It happens a lot. We be on the sideline, guys, and we're like, what the freak is our offense doing? Why would we do that? Run the ball. Well, what are we doing? And that's the thing that Nick Sirianni dropped the ball with. After that first long completion by Kirk Cousins, call a timeout, get the troops together, bring them down to reality and say, you know what, find a way to get us off the football field and get us in the locker room with a win. I go back to my rookie year. Playoff game, second round, Pittsburgh at Indy. Jerome Bettis, our offense, we're on the field to work up all the clock and get us out of town with a win. JB fumbles the ball. I don't know if you guys remember that or not. He fumbles the ball. We see Nick Harper pick the ball up, running it back. Big Ben was able to get him down. Before we went on the football field, Bill Cowher basically told us, listen, don't worry about what happened. You guys control what is going to happen from here on out. Get us home. Get us home. Because we were shell-shocked. We were like, oh, shoot. Here we go. And I'm a rookie. I'm like, oh, my goodness. We done screwed up. Peyton's about to find a way to win this ball game. That's what I was thinking. But when our head coach rallied the troops and got us together and gave us that speech that we needed, then we all had a woo-side moment. We came back down. You say, you know what, Coach Wright, let's get us home. So as a coach, when you have these situational moments that you can't control, that happens in the fourth of a ball game, and you have timeouts at your disposal, use it.
get them back together. Unfortunately, he didn't use that final timeout, and all the momentum they had is squandered away. And you saw more generic, soft, easy defense to pick apart.
Yeah. Let's real quickly, I want to ask you just about some games. Mike has a couple. Philly at New Orleans. You talk about the Eagles and their confidence. Do they get beat up in New Orleans this weekend? Listen, New Orleans has a lot of confidence right now, and their offense looks legit.
No question. Philly, offensively, guys, let's keep it real. They're not the same when A.J. Brown's not in the lineup at all.
Nope.
He means a lot to their success. He means a lot to Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts is a better quarterback with A.J. Brown. That's number one. Number two, can they stop the run? They didn't stop the run against Atlanta. Why would we believe they can stop the run against the Saints? That's playing with a lot of confidence. And you guys know that Superdome, Mercedes Superdome in New Orleans is going to be rocking. So I don't think they take another black eye. You know, my uncle used to tell me all the time, man, don't go out there and try to get in the yard fight and get that raccoon eye. You know what I mean? You can't have that raccoon eye when you get that black eye. Hey, I think Philly has another raccoon eye happening this weekend.
By the way, they rebranded it, Brian. It's now the Chico's Bail Bonds Superdome down there, by the way.
Why do they keep changing these names to all these stadiums all the time? I can't remember that.
No, I believe it's called, that mustysmell.com stadium. Anyway,
that's the right one.
All right, man, you got Caleb Williams going up against Anthony Richardson. Anthony Richardson looking like a rookie this year. He's kind of coming back a little bit. I mean, is it too much to expect him to just be the man? There's some growing pains, looks like, an Indy.
No, you expect him to be the man. No, there's no time for growing pains. You know, Mike Tomlin used to tell us all the time one of his famous Tomlinisms that I love to reference. No one cares about the labor pains. It's your job to deliver the baby, right? In the National Football League, they don't care about the labor pains. You got to deliver the baby. So for Anthony Richardson, when you get drafted as high as you were drafted, top five, the athleticism, the strong arm running the 4.3. No one cares about you figuring things out. You got to get it done. And he's not getting it done right now. And to your point, he's not seeing the field well, and he's not leading the offense like the ultimate point guard like they need him to lead the offense, right? And for Chicago, if you're Caleb Williams, if you're Matt Eberflus, this is a must win. You have to win this ball game. And here's why. We just saw Malik Willis beat the coach.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, he didn't blow you away with his numbers, but he didn't do anything to hurt the team either. So if that can happen, hey, look, you got to find a way to get it done. Like I said, no one cares about your labor pains. You got to deliver the baby.
All right, real quick. They're both 2-0. I know we got to go. Chargers at Steelers. All of a sudden, it's an interesting game, B. I mean, like, we saw them. I know they're still very limited, it seems like, offensively. But if the Chargers go into Pittsburgh and handle them, man, all of a sudden, you got to start believing whatever the hell Harbaugh's preaching, they're buying in.
I mean, yeah, they are buying it, even if it's full price. They don't have to be on the clearance rack. They still going to buy it because Coach Harbaugh has that mentality. But they're not going into Pittsburgh and beating Pittsburgh the way they've been beating people.
Okay, wait a minute. Are you too close to it?
You're too close to it.
I'm seeing it from a set of sober eyes. I don't drink. I'm always seeing things sober. That's how I'm seeing it. I'm close. You know I'm a Steeler. But I got to keep it real with you.
Okay.
The way the Chargers have been beating people, they've been playing great defense and benefiting off a very, very explosive running game. J.K. Dobbins is averaging almost 10 yards a carry.
Yes, you're telling me he's not going to do that this weekend?
No, you saw our defense in real life. We got some real goons.
Hey, Cousins was on one good leg. You know, you're chirping about a victory that's going to be looking pretty hollow in a few weeks, my man.
They're not going to go to Pittsburgh and say we're going to run goal line right, goal line left for four quarters and be successful. We put our big boy pads on. That's the type of ball game in Pittsburgh where you got to bring out the old Brian Bosworth neck rolls and the pony high top cleats, because it's going to be run left, run right, and you have to be tougher for longer in that matchup. That is not happening in the home opener in Pittsburgh. If it does happen, hey, Coach Harbaugh, he's earning his stripes, but it's not going to happen. This is the type of ball game where it's going to be ugly, and I don't know if there's another team in the National Football League that can win ugly games like the Pittsburgh Steelers. And what I mean when I say ugly, the score can be 9-7, 6-3, 5 or something like that. Pittsburgh love these ugly matchups. They don't like going to the prom with the prettiest girl. They don't mind getting the one who might not be as pretty. I don't want to say ugly, and making the best out of it. That's how Pittsburgh get things done in these type matchups. So to your question, Paul and Mike, when you guys talk to me next Friday, I'll sit here, be gloating, and say, I got you. I was dead on. They're not going to run the football for four quarters and sustain a level of success to win it. That's not happening.
I'll be texting you on Sunday. B, we got to run, man. Appreciate you as always, man. Take care. Enjoy the games. He is an NFL analyst for CBS. All things covered is the podcast. Brian McFadden, appreciate you.
Thank you.
I don't know, man.
I ain't buying that. I'm just telling.
You do, here's the deal, Mike. There's a couple of teams right now that have an identity, and we couldn't get into this. They're one of them.
Right.
The Chargers have basically said, Herbert, we do not need you to throw the ball 50 times a game. We're going to pound teams.
Right.
Harbaugh's not going into Pittsburgh and changing that in week three.
They're
going to
run the football, and J.K. Dobbins has had career resurgence over there because he got banged up. He had some issues in Baltimore. He's 100%. He's killing it.
These games are crazy, man. Our game is crazy. Coming up, headlines. We're live at Twin Peaks. Braves start a series with a team that got crushed yesterday, and everybody's talking about Shohei Ohtani. Slow your roll. Dukes and Bell, we were just chopping it up with some guys at the bar. Andre's from Macon, Mike.
I'm giving my man here my Florida State tickets for tomorrow night.
Oh, nice. Okay. That's what's up. Good luck.
If we lose to a bunch of stinking hippies from Cal Berkeley like Auburn, my God, man.
Yeah. Well, you know what?
Shame.
At least you got somebody who wants to use them. I don't know
exactly.
How, but at least you have somebody.
Well, I'm just giving them away.
He made the trip up. He said he had a business trip, and he heard us yesterday. He was like, man, I'm going to stop through. He listens to all the shows. He's a big fan of the radio station. And obviously, Braves, Falcons, Hawks.
Right.
He loves it all, man. So thank you so much, Andre, for stopping through. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. Big shout out to BMAC, Brian McFadden, talking about these games. There's so many things that potentially could play out on Sunday. And we all know this, right? I mean, it could be a close game.
Mm-hmm.
We could score early and get up on them. Maybe they struggle. I mean, you just don't know. And he was talking about some of the things, but I do agree with him. The sense of urgency that we ended the game with,
right?
We need to start the game with. And it doesn't mean we go down and score four times. What it means is, Mike, tempo. You're getting into – we are coming at you. We're throwing the football. We're not holding back. This isn't a wrestling match where I'm going to feel you out, right? In the
right.
WWE where they lock up and then they unlock. You got to go. And so I'm with him on that. I hope we start that way on Sunday.
I know that, because of the win and the way we won it, I think it just gives a lot of folks feelings that, we can hang with anybody. If you can hang with Philadelphia on the road, then at home against the Chiefs. And as we said, we know what they are. Sometimes it's not always pretty, but they just are the most clutch. That's the thing. Patrick Mahomes is the definition of clutch right now. Obviously he's got a lot more to win to be considered the greatest of all time, but he's the greatest of anyone playing quarterback right now, and we know why. Because of everything that Andy Reid comes up with in the game plan, maximizing, even when they don't have great wide receivers. Hell, they won the Super Bowl with a bunch of nobodies after Tyreek Hill.
It's true.
And now they find a way, in addition to the game plan, as we said to start the show, that improvisational thing, where when things start to break down, Kelsey's going to find a seam, or somebody's going to come back to Mahomes, or he's going to make some moves. So how do we handle that? But I do think, as we said, we got to stop and get out of this Falcon fan mentality of being the nail and not the hammer, that we're going to dictate some things on offense.
I want to be the hammer. I agree
a
with you.
A ball peen hammer.
I agree with you on this. I mean, I want to pound other teams.
Well, I mean, it's amazing what we saw against the Steelers. That's why I told Brian, we were rusty. We weren't ready. Zach wasn't ready.
That's
the team
right.
wasn't ready because we didn't get the preseason in. It is what it is. But if you can take what we did there in that final, in that second half, build on it. And not to mention, look, we're just scratching the surface with Pitts and Drake. They each have a touchdown. I mean, it's great, but I think Bijan built, for all things Bijan's done, we said yesterday, Bijan hasn't had a touchdown yet.
No, and I expect him to get in the end zone.
In the red zone. Right.
I really do. Hey, it's Dukes and Bell. Headlines brought to you by our friends at ATL Live Well. Running a little late because we ran late with BMAC talking about that Steelers-Chargers game, which is going to be interesting on Sunday. But, Mike, last night we did see the Jets and the Patriots. We all can agree, Patriots are terrible. And it's not going to get any better anytime soon. Listen, Carolina is arguably the worst team in this league. I think the Patriots may be the second worst team. And, Mike, you saw it last night. They just couldn't do anything offensively. But I do want to ask you about this Aaron Rodgers moment. And we'll dive a little bit deeper into this in the NFL Blitz. But Aaron Rodgers and Big O, can we play this Aaron Rodgers on that awkward interaction with Robert Saleh? Everybody around the country is talking about this.
People are trying
this.
To read lips. Like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, it's so if you missed it, you know, they scored. And then he comes over to the sideline. Aaron Rodgers, by the way, looked really good last night. And Saleh's like a little kid. Yeah, and he wants to hug him. And Aaron Rodgers is like, no, chill out. It was weird. It was awkward. Here's what Rodgers said about it.
He's not a big hugger usually, so I don't know he was going for the hug. He likes to do the two-hand chest push as well. So, but he talks a lot about two-score leads. So I just kind of gave him a push and said, two-score lead. That's what happened.
You buy that?
I don't think.
Do you buy that?
I don't know. I saw it in real time. Our good friend who covers national football now and from Miami, Armando Salguero, he goes, what's up with that? And I go, weird dude. And then somebody else says, two weird dudes talking about Saleh.
Yes.
You know, and Aaron Rodgers. It just, I don't know if you guys saw it in real time on Amazon. And by the way, who's producing Amazon? The fifth guy who left ESPN or NBC? How do you not take that and run with it?
Oh, sure.
I mean, to me, it's a game which is going nowhere.
Nowhere.
You could have totally milked that video. Let's go back to this awkward video and tell me what you think. I mean, they just gloss right over it. And I know I've said this before, nothing against Kirk Herbstreit, because certainly he knows his college football. I'd love to see anybody in that booth. Give anyone a crack at that. Let Fitzpatrick take a shot. You know, let any of the guys that are doing the halftime show, anybody other than Kirk Cousins, just giving you the basic, almost like football by the numbers.
Herbstreit, yeah.
When I say Kirk Cousins, no. Yeah. We love Kirk.
We
Kirk,
do.
Kirk Herbstreit is just, it's just so vanilla. So that broadcast, big moment in the game, weird, and they gloss right over it.
Yeah, that's a good point. It is. And I don't believe that either. What Aaron is telling you is, one, he's not a hugger. Ha, ha, ha. Two, he's saying they talked about being up two scores.
And wait, Mr. In Touch With His Feelings, Dark Room,
yeah.
Peyote, whatever anything else. What is it? What's that other stuff?
Ayahuasca.
Yes.
Leave this town in Georgia out of this.
He said,
no, he's not a hugger? No,
well, he said that the coach isn't, that Saleh isn't. But he's also saying we've talked about being up two scores, and so that's what I was responding to him, which is why people were saying read the lips. Either way, Jets win last night. And here's the deal. Whether you like the guy or not, they got a shot. They got a shot because he can play the position, and he looks 100%. So more on this coming up as our NFL Blitz continues, Mike. Braves begin a series with the Marlins. I do want to address this Shohei Ohtani situation. Look, it's a football Friday. We're getting ready for the biggest Sunday night football game we've had in this city for about 5 or 6 years. We will focus on that. But I do not want to dismiss what we saw last year with Ronald Acuña Jr. Acuña for life, 70 stolen bags, 41 home runs. He hit over 300. He played 159 games in the field. And we are glossing. America's glossing over it like, oh, right. This is the best thing we've ever seen. I respect Shohei Ohtani's ability. And, Mike, when he pitches, which he hasn't done this year, he's arguably the greatest player in the history of the game because nobody outside of Babe Ruth has done what he's done. But let's not make this more than what it is. He had a great game. He hits the 50-50 mark. But as you talk about, you know, individual seasons, guys, you saw it last year with Ronald Acuña.
I know that it's big, and we're not diminishing what Shohei Ohtani has pulled off. But there's still, to a degree, and maybe he changes that, a stigma about the DH. We were all obviously very excited about the job Marcell Ozuna has done. He's a DH who doesn't play in the field, who has been the heart and soul of this Braves team and has carried us. Braves aren't even close to sniffing the wild card, right, without Ozuna.
No doubt.
But the thing with Ohtani, it just seems like, yeah, the L.A. thing, it's not that the Ohtani thing isn't big. It's like the Acuña thing didn't happen. And it's just so diminished because for whatever reason, and guys, when we were joking around, a guy hit me up on the text line saying, wait a minute, Bob Nightingale? If you guys know the name, very important baseball writer.
40 years.
Yeah, been around, national writer. He won't say Braves out of sensitivity to the Native American community. So, I mean, not that makes him a bad baseball journalist, but it just seems there's a stigma against Atlanta for whatever reason. So, yeah, it just seems like that's where Carl and I, it's not that it's great what Ohtani has done, but our guy was playing in the field every day and barely missed a game that season.
Yeah, 50-50 special. He's the first player to do it. I get it. 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. At the end of this thing, Acuña's still going to have 20 more stolen bases than him when we're done with the season. And it's almost like it didn't happen. So I just want to put it in perspective. Atlanta, we know. We watched it. We witnessed it. And I respect Shohei Ohtani, but when he comes back and pitches next year and he wins, let's just say 15 games and does this,
right,
then we can have that discussion. That's not what this is. This guy didn't play in the field one lick this season. 404-726-0929. Falcons preparing for the Chiefs on Sunday. Hey, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. Coming up, Mike, we had a great conversation with the owner of our football team, Arthur Blank, yesterday.
Yeah, man. Arthur is celebrating his birthday in a few weeks. He's got the biggest hospital in the South, one of the largest hospitals in the country being built, and he's a guy that's putting it down, and you guys know about Children's Healthcare over there off of La Vista in 85. He's so proud of that, and he's also proud to give you free hot dogs, Carl, coming up on Sunday as part of the celebration of Arthur being inducted into the Ring of Honor.
3:20, you'll hear what he had to say. Also coming up, we'll go around the National Football League. There are some great matchups, and you'll hear more from this game last night. It was a boring game, but to Mike's point, the most exciting moment kind of just, well, didn't get played up as much as we thought it should have.
Right.
We'll get to that. Injury updates for you fantasy owners out there as well. Bunch of injury updates. We'll get to all of that. Stay right there. It's Dukes and Bell.